The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nathan Kahns with Carroll Broadcasting and John Jensen with Outlook Monona. Nathan, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
All right. Yep. Thanks for having us on, Senator. I want to start things off. Your staff released a video. You're criticizing the Biden administration's GREET model for ethanol and corn production. For my listeners' sake here, could you describe your issues with those regulations, kind of what you see as obviously better solution to what they're proposing, and how this is kind of a result of a bigger problem in government where people who don't really know anything about a system or process make regulations that govern it?
Was very unfair to corn and soybean farmers, and you have to have corn and soybeans be feedstock for the new aviation fuel, and the requirements that you have to apply fertilizer a certain way, have cover crops, and things like that, three things that you have to meet, and just think in terms of If you harvest your crop the fall before and the ground's frozen, you aren't going to be able to put a cover crop on that. So you plan on doing this, but you can't put the cover crop in it. That's one of the three things you got to do to get your grain to be used for aviation fuel. It's just a whole bunch of bureaucrats here in Washington not understanding how we do things in Washington, or the problems that family farmers, bureaucrats not understanding how family farming works, and the problems that we face, the challenges we face that are, unpredictable, and the fact that if you have to separate your grain from all the other grain that's produced in Iowa because you want to have it used for aviation fuel, as opposed to just planting the corn, harvesting the corn, taking it to the local elevator, get your corn mixed up with everybody else's corn. That corn goes to the ethanol plant. They don't separate one corn from another. It just seems like an impossible situation. Plus the fact that we only have one refinery to make this aviation fuel in Iowa or in the United States right now. That's in Georgia, and they don't want to mess around with this. So they're importing ethanol from sugar from Brazil to use for their aviation fuel. Now, we're going to have a lot more plants producing this new aviation fuel, but you aren't going to be able to do it. Then lastly, I'm going to say that environmentalists want a cleaner burning fuel for our commercial airlines, but they're at the other end helping formulate this GREET formula that has all these requirements in it. They're blocking out a massive amount of sources of energy to actually produce the great amount of fuel that we need. John Jensen.
Thank you, Senator. Can you give us a brief overview of what's going on in the Senate this week? I know you guys are in session starting yesterday, I believe.
Yeah. Just nominations to be approved and what we call congressional review of regulations that we can have votes on if we want to disapprove of them, and we may have a couple of those up. Okay, back to Nathan.
Senator, you and your colleagues in the Senate have recently been pushing to move the More Opportunities for Moms to Succeed Act. Just if you could talk a bit about the need for that bill, what the bill actually does, and what, if anything, is holding that up in Congress.
It's obviously research to help moms, particularly through pregnancy, and it's for research and help for them, and provides resources that are pro-women, pro-research. John Jensen?
Thank you, Senator. President Biden is recently began the process of approving a $1 billion arms bill to Israel. How do you feel about this? How should we be proceeding with with this process?
Well, he can only approve that $1 billion because it's $1 billion of $12 billion that we appropriated about 2 weeks ago for help to Israel. And we do it from two standpoints. We want to help Israel because we want a country for Jews to feel safe, because we don't want a repeat of the 6 million people that were murdered in the gas chambers by Hitler. Secondly, it's in our national security interest to help Israel, because we need a friend in the volatile Middle East. And thirdly, they're the only democracy there, and we ought to be helping democracies around the world. So it's in our own interest to help them. But right now they've been invaded by Hamas, and we got to help them defeat Hamas, which has been designated by the U.S. government as a terrorist organization. And the fact that they invaded Israel. I'm glad to see that he's moving off this stand he took for the last 2 weeks, not to give weapons to Israel, because he didn't want Israel to go after the last city where the last contingents, about four battalions of Hamas fighters, are, and root out that terrorist organization so they can't do to Israel again what they did on October the 7th. Nathan?
Yeah, so there's been some movement on the House side of things on the new farm bill recently, but hopes aren't really high that that's going to go anywhere, at least anytime quickly. What's the latest on the effort in the Senate on the farm bill, and kind of what are the sticking points and what's holding it up?
I think the House bill's a little bit better than what we haven't been able to negotiate in the United States Senate, particularly because they're trying to reflect the inflation that's come up on input for agriculture. I'm talking about chemical seed, fertilizer, interest rates, diesel, all that stuff that's not more expensive. 2018 Farm Bill doesn't include that, and we need the new Farm Bill to include it, and the House is doing a better job. Still probably not as good as it should due to reflect inflation, but we aren't getting much interest in that in the Senate, and that's a sad commentary. John, this is the last question.
Thank you. A recent report indicated that Social Securities would be again running out approximately 2033. What does the Senate and the House need to do to keep this program going?
You need to have the President of the United States and Republican and Democrats in the House and Senate to sit down at the same table and negotiate a bipartisan agreement. And there isn't a Democrat solution to this issue. There's not a Republican solution to this issue. It's just something that's got to be done in a bipartisan way. And it's better to do it yesterday than tomorrow. And I hope it doesn't go for another 8 years before Congress does something to save Social Security. And that's a situation that a Ronald Reagan and a Tip O'Neill founded in 1983. And they decided we can't do it. So they got a Republican president, a Democrat speaker of the House of Representatives to sit down and work out the differences, and it passed Congress overwhelmingly. The problem is there is not a Ronald Reagan and a Tip O'Neill or people that think like them to solve this problem right now, and it's a sad commentary, and I'm sorry to give you that pessimistic news, but that's just the way the situation is. But I very much thank you for asking that question. I wish we were having that question posed to every member of Congress every day so we get them to focus on the fact that we can't wait another 8 years to make Social Security strong for our children and grandchildren. Goodbye, John and Nathan. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Nathan and John, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.